At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Skillnet Ireland, driving business success through innovative training and upskilling.
And I'm delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, John Delves. He's the Managing Director at Magnet Plus. John, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks very much, Bobby.
Now, John, it all started in Rush, North County Dublin, early jobs, picking tomatoes. Your father was in the print business and you went on to your formal education was in the University of Ulster. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, I guess to start back with the tomato picking from Rush, market gardening area.
Yeah.
I earned a princely sum of 50p. Per crate of tomatoes. Now that was a lot
piece
of tomato.
Work. Piece work.
Piecemeal work, yeah. at the age of 11.
Wow.
And you know, it was a neighbour's farm, the Bollard family, and listen, you had to get up early before the glass houses got hot. So you'd start at about 6 a.m, work till around 11. Then you had to grade the tomatoes. The worst part was making cardboard boxes because that would cut your hands. But it was great and went on to do lots of market gardening jobs, which was good. It kept you physically fit.
Yeah.
I think in Gaelic, we weren't the most skillful team, but we were usually the most physical team in St. Maur's and Rush. So, and then my dad was in the printing industry. He originally from Drimna, left school when he was did his intercert, went into printing industry. So I worked 2 summers there. I destroyed 2 of his silk screens, Bobby, in the summer, and decided that wasn't
family
really,
business wasn't for me.
It wasn't a career that I didn't leave my mark in the print industry.
Good man. And what about the University of Ulster then? What brought you up there?
Yeah, well, they were, it was in partnership with Griffith College here in Dublin.
Right.
So went and did the degree there in Griffith College in partnership with the university. So, yeah, so I had a lot of... About 90% of the class were students from the north. So that was great fun. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I wanted to maybe do the early career, Green Corps, Kerry Foods, Hibernia Foods. So was that a kind of a training ground for you for later things?
Most definitely. Yeah. Hibernia was the first one.
Yeah.
I knew the owner, Oliver Murphy, there. And he said if I got a first class honours, he'd give me a job. And he did. I didn't realise that would be in the UK. So I left for the UK when I was 21, spent 10 years over there. And bizarrely, it wasn't any strategic thing. I think it was just an affinity. I always ended up working with Irish companies. So I went from Hibernia to Kerry Foods and to Green Corps. And they were fantastic in terms of...
In the UK?
All in the UK.
Right.
All living in the northeast of England. I'm a Man U fan, but I did have a second team in Sunderland, and that was the dizzy days of Niall Quinn and Kevin Phillips up
Great.
There. So I used to go up and see them on the coldest stadium that I've ever been to. Middlesbrough and Sunderland Stadium of Light are the coldest places on earth in January.
Tell me then, did you sell, and was that, you were there for 10 years, and again we'll talk about this now in a second, but... So from 2008 to 2018, your late brother, Colm, former CEO of that business, did he employ you there or was it a different route?
He opened the door.
Had he a problem when he said, I need you to come out and sort this out?
It was 2007 and I'd spent almost 10 years in the UK. My wife was Irish and we had 2 young kids and we were looking to try and move back home. And Colm said, we're looking for commercial people, not necessarily with telco experience, because at that stage, Digicel was rapidly expanding in terms of the number of countries it was in both the Caribbean and in the Pacific, Bobby. And so he said, if you're interested, I'll let the guys know. And I was actually interviewed by Dennis O'Brien and Leslie Buckley. And they said to me, we think you'll fit culturally, they like the commercial and the, you know, the it's a cutthroat, the food
industry.
You better
believe it, yeah.
So they liked that. And what happened, I was actually going to meet them for the interview, and they wanted to cover my expenses. And I said, well, I was coming back anyway to meet my parents for the weekend. And at that stage, the Dublin Port Tunnel had just opened. And I hopped off the plane, saw the bus was going through the Port Tunnel, decided I hadn't seen it yet, so jumped on the bus and then walked out. And I think Leslie in particular, who would always be very conscious on spending money, liked that part as well. So commercially saving, probably a little mean as well. Yeah. And he said, yeah, this guy can do it. But I had to go and tell my wife then that I wasn't sure what the job I would be doing, what country we would be living in, or exactly, you know, where it would be. And but she backed me, and it was an adventure that we thoroughly enjoyed.
And again, just looking through the 10 years there, number of different jobs in different territories. I suppose Trinidad and Tobago was where you were running, and like there was 1,400 people working for you there. Like this was big. This was a big business.
Fairly close to $300 million US in revenue, and you know, about $150 million in EBITDA.
So
substantial business. We grew it from mobile only. When I was first in the Trinidad market, that's all we did was mobile. We played a little bit in business to business, but then we invested in a fiber network. We rolled out a GPON network. So what we have here today, what's been rolled out in Ireland, the latest and greatest.
Great.
And we did that about 6 years ago, and we rolled it out to the country, 75% population coverage in less than 24 months.
And that you could do the same here.
Well, over there, and I guess that's where the board committed, and ultimately into the investment, there wasn't the regulatory, there wasn't shared infrastructure in place. So if you wanted to do it, you had to build it. And then once you're building it, you had to build it really, really quickly to make sure, because then our competition started building. And it was really a race to get ahead. And it was market dynamics that made it happen, because once you went into an area with fiber, then you could pretty much get over 50% market share. Wow. If you came second into that area, it was a struggle. You get 10 to 15%. So it was the competitiveness that fueled the rollout.
Absolutely. That sounds really exciting. Now you're back. And again, we're now managing director at Magnet Plus. Tell us a little bit about that business.
Magnet Plus, I think it really appealed to me because it's what I'd call a Goldilocks size business, Bobby, in that it's not too big and it's not too small. It's just the right size. It's a turnover of about 30 million, primarily connectivity, broadband solutions. It's about 2/3 of the business and about 1/3 on voice and hosted voice solutions. We have 82 employees, but we're also part of the Speedfibre Group, which would own eNet, which is a wholesaler. So combined, the total business would have about 70 million revenue this year. And I think that gives us credibility. We're owned by the Irish Infrastructure Fund. 18 of those, of the 20 investors, are the likes of Irish pension funds. And so we've got real boots on the ground in the Irish market. Maybe unlike our competitors, we don't have to go to France or go to the UK for permissions. We're much more agile, all based here in Ireland.
Tell me about, you know, the way business uses phones now. Like, this business, Magnet, has probably changed a lot in the last number of years, because maybe the way we use our phone in business has changed. Maybe we don't call each other as often now. You said there are voice solutions. People don't leave messages anymore. So you have to change that business in relation to how the consumer is interacting with it. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah, it's like every product has to change to reflect the times and how the market's changing, really. And the pandemic was really a good example of that.
Yeah.
So where hosted voice comes into its own versus traditional fixed line, which is stuck on a copper cable in a building, you can't bring it home with you. So hosted voice allows you to bring that solution where you're in the office. There's actually an app available on your phone. So you can be working anywhere. You can be in Killarney, like you guys were last week, you know, and bring your fixed line with you. And what's also changed is really the whole dynamics around solutions video solutions like Teams. So we're now fully integrated in with Teams, which means that you can seamlessly switch from your Microsoft Teams into using the voice, calling your teams, setting up meeting rooms, and doing external calls.
Do you think ultimately consumers become very frustrated with technology when it's applied to phones? That, like, if you call in about your credit card or your mobile phone or your ESP bill, or that the technology there ultimately drives consumers crazy?
Yeah, and I think you have to really try and make your products simple. But I think also, Bob, you have to walk in the sort of shoes of your customer as well. So, you know, I always try to do that. On Monday, I was out in Balmain in North Dublin. We're doing an install with the engineers. And I used to always do that in Digicel. We used to always work in the stores once a quarter for one day, every part of the management team, because that's the best market research. Yeah. So something you assume is simple, when you're dealing with a customer, when you're dealing with that customer in front of you, it becomes a lot more real.
Yeah.
And then you think, oh yeah, now I understand it wasn't as simple, or we made an assumption that it was. So we have to make sure our products are as simple as and easy. And I think the telecoms industry in Ireland is quite vanilla at the moment. When you look at the big guys, there's very little that differentiates them in terms of their products or their propositions. Probably their poor customer service is probably the one thing that they have in common. And we're relatively small. We can be disruptive in terms of commercially being disruptive in the products and the offers. But I think the most disruptive thing we can do is really focus on the customer experience. We have deliberately said we're never going to have any bots in our business.
Yeah.
I'd much rather emotional intelligence than artificial intelligence. Yeah. People deal with people.
I think you're right. And I actually think that, you know, while you think you're automating something, you're actually, you know, people want to talk to people as well, particularly if they want a problem solved.
Yeah, and press this and press that, yeah. and you go through a labyrinth to try and get to a person. So, you know, we want to do simple things, like every time the customer rings, within five rings, that you're going to be answered by one of our team.
Okay.
You're going to speak to a person.
And finally, tell me about dressing up as Batman in front of 1,000 people. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, we sponsored IMAX in Trinidad, and we would always do our quarterly updates. And every time we would try and make it a bit more exciting. So the Batman movie was out about 5 or 6 years ago, and we decided to let everyone in the whole business, we said, listen, let's have a bit of crack and let's dress up, because it's a superhero movie and everyone has to dress up. And, you know, we sent it all out, and then we had the management team and said, okay, but, you know, we have to do it as well. We can't ask them to do something that we're not willing to do ourselves as a team. So we all got dressed up, and I was Batman. But I didn't realize how tight the Batman costume was when they came out, and there was no other option for to wear it.
Well, John Delves, I haven't met you before. It's a real pleasure to meet you today. Managing Director at Magnet Plus, thanks for letting us into your world.
Thanks very much, Bobby.